mine and yours. And you don't want to press your weapon to back up and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 79. Byakko ships in the harbor. Two water tribe ships in the harbor. If I go back to bed now, can I pretend this never happened? Leaning on the windowsill of the Fire Nation-style small house, Zuko eyed the heavy steel storm shutters on either side of the window, and the water tribe camp on the beach hundreds of feet below. Oh yes, this is going to end so well. Behind him, he heard the door open, and a startled intake of breath. You're up. He knew that voice. He took a deep breath, glad there were only twinges of pain, and gripped the ledge harder. If he turned around, he wasn't sure what he'd do. Lady Karasu, I'm grateful for your hospitality. Don't look. How tense is the situation with the Southern Water Tribe and their allies? Near soundless steps coming closer. What makes you think it's tense? He gestured at the green gardens and trees around Karasu's village, all clinging to slopes over 500 feet above the water, and at least 100 feet above where the steep earth turned to a grassy, stony slope down to the beach. None of the Water Tribe tents were even 50 feet above high tide, and as for the Earthbenders' sandstone shelters, well, because none of them are above the tsunami line. So they are. It was a wry, resigned chuckle. We've tried to politely suggest they find some place else to go. The Fire Lord may not be the most loved person in Byakko's domain, and we do have some leeway to trade with other lands. But the presence of so many aggressive merchants could be awkward to explain. Awkward. Right. Avoiding a poison dagger in the back was awkward, too. But you don't have the soldiers to drive them off without losses, so you can tell anyone who asks that you are waiting for the tsunami, if you had to. Zuko grimaced. Though some of your sea gatherers probably don't like that idea. At all. Like it? No. But family has to take care of family. Karasu sighed. And Chief Hakoda's reaction to long-lost kin hasn't been all they hoped, especially for my husband. Your husband? He had to look up. Had to. She looks so much like Mom. The same long, dark hair, caught back with carved shell combs. The same elegant, deliberate movements of someone who'd trained in the blade as well as courtly dance. Her robes were far less costly and edged with Byakko's dark blue mountain stripes. But outside of that... His eyes were blurry. Zuko blinked furiously, determined not to break down. Amok's keeping the youngsters at bay. Karasu said ruefully, getting your brain back together after flowing lightning takes quiet. And the legends say anyone being tormented by a sea serpent, being around a lot of people too soon can hurt them. I hope you feel up to visitors shortly, though. They all want to meet their famous cousin. Infamous, Zuko countered, voice rough. If you think you've got trouble with Aang's invaders here, if word gets out that I'm here... Karasu raised one brow, tilted her head in an all-too-familiar, stubborn gesture. It's a sailor's duty to pick up those shipwrecked, is it not? Zuko swallowed and bowed to her. Was the Kadzate found? The sea serpent, he amended at her startled look. We found some very old archives near Asagitatsu. He couldn't keep himself from growling, though I thought Kadzate liked cold water. I have no idea if Kadzate do, Karasu said thoughtfully. The pods who come to our harbor like to be called Rakko. They say they're several tribes, even though they call those with different coats cousins. She leaned back a little. The spotted ones seemed to be the most trustworthy. The deep hunters, they're larger, with dark sable fur, act more friendly, but some of them have a nasty sense of humor.
I noticed, Zuko said wryly.
That wasn't a deep-sea hunter anymore. Karasu folded her hands. That was a sea serpent, and all the Rakko are grateful you ended it.
Zuko almost took a step back at that one. She didn't look like she was lying. I thought water hated anyone who hurt their family, even if they'd rejected one of their own first.
That's what they'd prefer to do, yes? His aunt nodded. But as my husband says, the Rakko are children of the sea. The ocean doesn't care if you still love even one who's gone mad. The water it bends will still kill you. So they are angry, and they are sad. But all the pods know what it had done already, and what it wanted to do.
A wry smile tugged at her lips.
Even Chief Hakoda agreed it had to die, after what it did to two of his men.
Zuko winced. Are they
dead?
Karasu answered. Her hands brushed each other as if wiping away blood.
What it left of them didn't live long, fortunately.
Her shoulders rose and fell.
So you see the fangs of our dilemma. How could we have driven the water tribe from our shores when the sea serpent might give them worse than death, bending their very minds into madness? It would be more merciful to slaughter them in the night, even within our very walls.
Brr, killing guests
would be ill fortune for us all, Karasu nodded. But let the sea serpent have them. We couldn't call ourselves human.
She drew a deep breath.
We were hunting the sea serpent with the pod's help, hoping it wouldn't come to that. And then we found you.
Slim, dark brows arched up, a silent question.
Zuko nodded once.
How much do you already know?
Karasu gave him a narrow look. You were unconscious.
What did that have to do with anything? Of all Shidan's daughters, Karasu took after him the most in touching hearts and minds.
But there's no way I should know that.
Grandson or not, Shidan kept his daughter's secrets close. Shidan hadn't told him.
He told Kuzan a lifetime ago.
You're a healer, Zuko shrugged, still stiff, quelling a flutter of panic. Karasu only pried into unconscious minds to save lives, and she never went deeper than she had to. If she had any hint of Kuzan's memories in his own, he'd know it by now. You already knew about the lightning and the sea serpent. I figured the exposure was obvious.
I was wondering what happened before you hit the water.
Karasu's eyes were shadowed.
You seem to have hit it from a very great height.
I did. Getting angry was pointless. They needed solutions, not things burning down. Rumors of the Avatar's death are greatly exaggerated.
He glanced out at the water, looking for furred bodies in the waves.
If you've had the chance to speak on friendly terms with Chief Hakoda, then you may have heard his daughter Katara is a waterbender, who started out self-trained and then took only combat training from Master Paku in the north. She doesn't know how to keep a buffer between herself and the water at all.
He looked at his aunt again.
The sea serpent got to her. She tried to kill me, and by the time I got her fire circled so she was sane again, the Avatar blasted his way in to see me, apparently trying to set his girlfriend on fire.
He waved a hand, one flick of his wrist.
Whoosh!
He'd never seen Karasu's jaw drop like that before. How has he survived this long? Wait, his girlfriend?
The look she shot Hakoda's ship should have set the sails on fire.
Why is her father not sharpening his sword? He's 112.
Caught off guard, Zuko snickered. How still sore? though sore, beat, cracked ribs any day of the week. 112-year-old brat, you mean. Didn't the wanted posters get through the Fire Nation? No, I guess they couldn't have. Even Aang wouldn't have enough luck to dodge the Home Guard if they knew who they were looking for. Another snicker. Hakoda should be sharpening his sword, so he can threaten his daughter with cradle robbing. Self-conscious, Zuko shrugged. Up until late last fall, Aang was locked in an iceberg. Some weird avatar thing. He's been alive 112 years, but he's only lived through 12 of them.
12, and he still won't think.
He wanted to crawl right back into bed. Hadn't the world done enough already? He's just a kid, Zuko said wearily. A kid who thought he'd never have to grow up until he was maybe 30. If Fire Lord Sozin hadn't started the war, Aang would have gotten one nasty surprise when he turned 16. Silence fell between them. Zuko could hear the wind over the waves, the hustle and bustle as his aunt's neighbors smoked fish and dried seaweed for market, the rattling crunch of someone shoveling salt into sacks to ship later. They're doing well here. None of Kuzan's family had dared hope it would work all those decades ago. Those waterbenders who'd survived Hama's breakout wished they hadn't, even after agents of the White Lotus had arranged for their transport ship to be lost at sea where Byakko could intervene. Oh, I really don't want to remember that. That ostrich mare's nest of a mess had involved smugglers, pirates, and more than a few slit throats. Some of them innocent throats. It'd been enough to leave Kuzan with nightmares. Yet, after all that, Kuzan hadn't been sure they'd saved anyone. Yes, the Southern Waterbenders were still breathing, but alive? They couldn't even work up enough fight in themselves to want revenge.
Let me take them where the sea rules, Karasu had asked. If they have any hope to survive, it will be there.
The sea ruled Lituya Bay. It was an excellent harbor, shallow at the mouth to give incoming ships pause, but otherwise deep and uncluttered. Fresh water ran down from the mountains, and edible seaweeds and shellfish were there for the taking. Any captain would treasure such a haven. Until the mountains shook again. Yet Karasu's gamble had worked. There was no ice here unless humans made it, true. But in a place where even the strongest of fire had to plan for the will of water, knowing the ocean held all their lives in its hands had given the survivors strength. Some of them, Zuko thought sadly, remembering bodies washed up in sea wrack, or never found at all. Lituya Bay had gotten very, very good at tracing where currents might drag a body. Stop thinking about it. Think about something else, like Karasu, who'd been silently, wistfully pining after one stubborn waterbender, the last Kuzan had known, painfully aware it would never work. Now she's married, with kids. Did not see that coming. I wonder what happened. His aunt sighed. Your mother wasn't there to tell you when you came of age, so I'll tell you. As I told Sheila when she made her first lone hunt, as I'll tell Kasumi, Hayato, and Almanil when they master their blades and their elements. Once you have the power to take a life, you are no longer a child. Sheila, Zuko repeated in his head, hoping to soon have faces to fit the names. Even if he couldn't stay, he wanted to know them, to see the hope Kuzan and Byakko had wrested from Sozin's despair. He needed hope. He was just so tired. Sea Serpents and Aang and the Face Stealer, when could he just rest? Sheila, he told himself again, gripping onto the thoughts of a future with both hands. Kasumi, Hayato, Almanil. Half those names would give the court nobles fits, which was probably the point. Cousins. I miss having cousins. I wonder if I could bring the Wens here someday.
Now,
Karasu folded her arms, determined as Ursa on track of a missing lessons book. Before a Mach loses track of one of our youngsters, they're so good at sneaking, the rascals. Would you like to tell me just how powerful Hakoda's daughter is? There was still ice in the water when we found you. Right. This was going to be awkward. That wasn't Katara. Water streamed from hand to webbed paw to hand, chasing fleeing sparks in a net that went through and over and under with dizzying speed. Up the stony beach, Hakoda kept his own hands busy mending a much more ordinary net, hoping it would keep his mind occupied enough not to say anything rash. Days on the same boats and then hours in the same subs with the swamp benders had been weird enough. He'd been watching Lituya Bay's children playing with the Arako for days now, and it still gave him chills. Fire and water weren't meant to mix with laughter. He'd seen what fire did when water didn't fight back. If you want to shred something, there's always seaweed. Hakoda glanced to his left, where a graying waterbender and Byakko's dark blue and red twisted water in and out of ropes of ice, as he kept his own watchful eye on madcap young benders. Katara was never like this. No? Amok braided ice, adding decorative edges of frost rhyme. I suppose she wouldn't have been, without someone to show her how to grasp the water the first time. She would have had to guess at all of it. Playing by herself would be hard. He looked down, voice quieter. And playing alone is even harder. She wasn't alone, Hakoda said firmly. Sokka never let that happen. He took a breath, anger stirring yet again. But all these years, we thought she was the last. You say no one keeps you here. Then why didn't any of you ever come back? Ice melted to water between pushing hands, then a mist of chill fog sparkling in the sun. Shame, Amok breathed, sighed and said it louder. Shame, Chief Hakoda of the Southern Water Tribe. Though I have to admit, I wonder which Southern Water Tribe it was. Does anyone keep the old names now? Or is it just his village and their village? And the one over there we don't like because everyone knows we are better than they are. The way we've always been, since our ancestors left the North. We didn't want to be ruled by the Northern Chief or the Waterbenders. We didn't want to be ruled by anybody. And we weren't, which worked just fine, until it didn't. Until someone who actually wanted to do us harm came for us and wouldn't stop coming. The Fire Nation should never have been allowed to get that far, Hakoda said darkly. If the Avatar had faced the Fire Lord before he attacked the Air Temples... He cut himself off, suddenly aghast. Amok raised surprised brows and nodded slowly. You're a father, too. Counted up the years, did you? The year Sozin's comet came was 12 years after Roku's death. The Avatar would have been 12. The Avatar still is, Hakoda thought, suddenly ashamed himself. He'd been fighting the Fire Lord for years, hoping to give his children time to grow up. Every shore he'd visited, sooner or later you'd hear the same old refrain. If the Avatar hadn't abandoned us. The Avatar was 12, the same age Sokka had been when Hakoda had left a brave young boy behind in his village, in the hopes that he'd be safe. Damn. You're taking it a lot better than I did the first time Karasu showed me their histories, Amok mused. It took me weeks to let myself count the years and realize what had happened. Months more to calm down and work through how much Sozin must have gambled on that one day of power and what he'd won from it. If any part of his plan had gone wrong, if anyone had been willing to face the Firebenders before they attacked the temples... The last 100 years of war wouldn't have happened, and the people I loved wouldn't be dead. Hakoda knew that pain in Amok's voice. He'd heard it himself after Kya had been murdered. And yet, there had to be someone who had to be. Amok cast him a grim look. Bending runs in families, Chief Hakoda, and you know how we protect our own. There didn't have to be anyone from my village left alive. Not after they came and burned. Not after the rest of us spent years in the Fire Lord's tender care. Hair prickled on the back of Hakoda's neck. Hearing that old hate, he couldn't help but take a step back. Amok glanced at him, looked at where Hakoda's boots had been on the rocks just moments before, and sighed. And there's your answer, Chief Hakoda. That is why we didn't come back. Anyone would be angry at what the Fire Nation did to us, Hakoda said bluntly. You would have been welcome among the tribe. I would have poisoned the tribe. Amok's hands clenched, ice sheathing each finger like a massive claw. I'd have twisted my hate into everyone near me, including your daughter. Tide surged near them. Hakoda found himself gauging the distance to the foam, wondering how much warning he'd have. Amok looked his way again and shook his head, straightened his shoulders, and looked out where one girl's sparks had just been doused by a fast stream of ice water, leading to what looked like a general fray of water splashing. Even the most trained bender can slip, Chief Hakoda. And I wasn't even a warrior's age when they caught me. There's only so much pain a man can bear without lashing out at something. When Hama did, from within our prison walls, when she found a way out, a way that turned her into a monster. He sighed, shoulders slumping. Those of us who were still sane wanted to die rather than become such a nightmare. Many of us did. We were shamed, Chief Hakoda. All of us. We were tainted. When the ship we were put on was struck by lightning and foundered, some let the waves take them down. He laughed softly, eyes crinkling in faint humor. I didn't. Too young to give up hope. Or just too stubborn, I guess. We were in the water, and we weren't dead yet. I wanted to know what might happen next. A wry smile lit his face. The next hand that reached for me smelled like the storm. I took it. A deep breath. Piece of advice, Chief Hakoda. Never, ever get my wife mad in a rainstorm. You wouldn't like what would happen next. Which made no sense whatsoever. Firebenders are weaker in the rain. Except for one. He still remembered Bato's face and his words. The rain caught fire. Not Byakko firebenders. Amok sighed, watching Spotted Fur splash through the waves. Look at them. Young, trusting, like your daughter would have been. Waterbenders are supposed to be blessed. But the Rakko know some of their own can go insane. He shook his head. Even then, that rogue still slaughtered pups like it slaughtered your men. Hakoda flinched from that bloody memory. Manarak and Kasuke. What the sea serpent had left on shore had barely been recognizable as human. Death had been a mercy. And after that, Hue had told them they were lucky. Two dead, and he calls us lucky? Unfortunately, Hakoda had to agree with the pantsless swampbender. They had been lucky. The swampbenders had recognized stalking evil when they felt it tug their bending toward the ocean and had stampeded for the oil lamps. They'd waved flames in circles around themselves, and every man tugged toward the sea, smudging them with greasy smoke to break the monster's call. Hakoda hadn't needed fire to keep him from the waves, but he'd felt that lonely, angry call. If Katara ever felt that, his lonely, motherless daughter, He didn't know what she might have done. He didn't know what he would have done. I don't think I'm going anywhere without lamp oil again.
Murderous as any twisted human, Amok mused. I wonder if it was one of us once.
Hakoda almost dropped the net. He couldn't have heard what he thought he just heard.
What? The Seaborn.
Amok gave him a quizzical look.
You know the old story.
Seaborn? Hakoda said uneasily. The Avatar had been an old story once.
I don't remember Kana ever mentioning them, whoever they are.
Kana? Your mother?
Amok's brows climbed. That's right. Bato said she was from the north, where they spend all their time with politics instead of winter lamps and stories, so they write everything down.
He let out a slow, thoughtful breath.
The problem with that is, if no one reads it, people forget the story is there.
He glanced at Hakoda and waved the ocean westward.
And if the only place you have the story is in a book, and someone takes the books away, much of the Fire Nation doesn't even know there was a time they didn't want to conquer the world.
He humphed. Well, that's not happening here. We've started proper storytellings every winter, and every child born here is going to hear about the spirits, and what other lands and people are really like.
He glanced into the distance, face drawn. As long as we can. Our island's trade is valuable enough that people can ignore some oddness, but it only takes one to betray a whole world.
Hakoda put fragments of whispers together and tried not to look at the waterbender too darkly.
Is that what they told you? That one of our tribe, one of our own people, betrayed you to the Fire Nation?
Your daughter was the first waterbender born in the south in over a decade, Amok said levelly. How did they know to come looking?
How indeed? Part of Hakoda wondered. But that way lay madness. He had to trust his tribe.
You're right. You should be ashamed that you would believe any of us would turn over a waterbender to Ozai's army.
I told you we were tainted.
Amok admitted, blue eyes dark and sad. Though, perhaps broken is a better word. We were kept in heat and dry and metal, away from water for years. I'm not a bender, I don't understand.
Hakoda cut him off, impatient. I've heard that before. I don't believe it. Hui's just as human as everyone else. Insane when it comes to seaweed, but human.
We are human, Amok agreed. But I doubt you do understand. Being held away from your own element, what you were born to bend, it ravages the spirit.
He glanced at the Water Tribe chief. It's as if someone shattered both your legs below the knee and said, get up and walk.
You're walking around just fine, Hakoda said dryly.
Amok drew in a breath for angry words, judging by the red flush in his face, then sighed, letting his shoulders fall.
You don't understand. He looked away. In a way, that's worse than the prison. Those of us who survived knew you wouldn't understand, and blood of our enemies or not, those who rescued us live with benders. They knew how badly we were wounded. They wanted to help.
Help, Hakoda said, skeptical, as if Amok were reading him fortunes in the clouds.
You married a firebender.
That came later, Amok said quietly.
After her grandfather was murdered by Fire Lord Azulon.
Hakoda started. He killed one of his own lords. Not the brightest move he could have made.
He trailed off, looking at the children playing on the shore, glancing up the slope to where a bunch of swamp benders had gathered, kibitzing as Hui traded deep thoughts on sea greens with some of the local seaweed harvesters. Hui said we'd be safe here, Fire Nation or not, because Byakko has traded with the Great Swamp for over 100 years.
And they don't turn on people who trust them. At least, not without warning first. Byakko doesn't want to fight this war, Hakoda thought out loud. Why? Because it's wrong. Because they love to fight but hate to kill. Because most of Byakko's people live on Mount Chiratora, which is a death trap waiting to go off if they lose too many firebenders. Take your pick. Amok scooped a thin thread of water out of thin air, braiding it between his fingers. But most of all, because Lord Kuzan was an airbender's friend, and that child he couldn't save. He whistled softly. You have no idea what a firebender will do to regain their honor. I might, Hakoda said dryly. I've met Zuko. Which was another worry. Why is he still alive? Amok snorted. He's stubborn, and we got to him before the damn sea serpent's body drew in the scavengers. A little bruising on his lungs isn't going to kill that youngster. He's Azulon's grandson, Hakoda cut him off. Doesn't your wife have a blood feud with him? Amok was looking at him as if Hakoda had suggested jumping headfirst into a leopard shark's jaws. Vendetta is legal and specific, Chief Hakoda. You can't carry out a vendetta against the Fire Lord. There's no higher authority to appeal to. And if you did, you'd go for the murderer, not his offspring. Besides which... He's an exile, Hakoda said shortly. No one's going to care. Your wife may even think she's doing her domain a favor, if she's a bender who knows spirits. That boy attracts the worst luck I've ever seen. Drowned come calling, by Twi and Law. If anyone else figures that out, they might think it's worth turning him into the Fire Lord just to save your hides. What on earth is so funny? Amok was biting his lip, as if he were trying very hard not to laugh. How many Kuzons of Byakko do you think there are, Chief Hakoda? I have no idea, Hakoda said honestly. What does your wife's grandfather have to do with what happens to an exile? Kuzon of Byakko married Ron the Brightbladed, Amok said in the familiar sing-song of a water tribe lineage. Of Ron, he had one daughter, Kotone, Lady of Byakko. Hakoda choked. Kuzon, Kotone, he wasn't that familiar with Fire Nation names, but the odds of those two names showing up together again in the same domain? Kotone of Byakko married Shidon the swordsman, whose home none know. Amok went on with a relish. Of Kotone, he had three daughters. The eldest, Chihisen, who won her own blades in the home guard, married Tsubasa the archer, and bore Haruko Byakko's heir-to-be just this past spring. The youngest, Karasu, who married Amok of the Southern Water Tribes, and bore Shila and Hyato of Fire, and Kasumi and Aumanil of Water. Hakoda sucked in a breath, and possibly a bug. There was something caught in his throat, at any rate. Flame. They named their first daughter Flame? A water tribe name? Yet the name known to most of the Blood of Fire is that of their middle daughter, Ursa, Amok went on. Not a coincidence. Oh, damn. Zuko, Hakoda said numbly. Son of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai. You really think my wife's going to turn on her own nephew? Amok said wryly. Or that anyone here would be stupid enough to risk her wrath by trying? He laughed once, eyes dancing with sardonic amusement. I don't think so. Spots. Zuko blinked, scrubbed at his eyes, and blinked again. Still, spots. Green and blue dappling and pink, of all things. Bright spotted and speckle-dashed fur surfing through the waves in all the shades of live coral, and then some. Ack! Karasu chuckled. They are a bit more colorful than the deep sea hunters.
No wonder everybody thought they were extinct, Zuko managed. Who'd believe something like that was real?
One dark brow arched. You know, that's what some nations say of dragons.
Show me a dragon that's ever looked that.
Zuko shook his head, trying to pick just the right word for the sort of otter crocodile creatures bouncing in and out of the surf with his dripping wet cousins, chasing sparks with bent streams of water, or turning other streams in the web to currents of ice or fog. Brilliant, agile, enthusiastic. Amusement glittered in gold eyes.
Silly, Zuko said firmly.
He looked beyond the water and fire game, where Hakoda and the waterbender, who was another uncle, seemed to be discussing something.
Probably him.
Oof. Karasu clucked her tongue. You're definitely Ursa's son. She was always so serious. His aunt paused. That, or you were raised by raven wolves.
Why do people say that?
Worse, Zuko said wryly, watching the kids catch sight of him. This was going to be a disaster.
He just knew it.
Uncle Iroh and a bunch of Komodo rhinos. And a few marines. I should have guessed, Karasu sighed. Do you think it was all that time at sea that let the moon snare you?
No, I blame that one on Uncle, Zuko said dryly. He helped the moon survive at the North Pole. She just returned the favor. Take out the Fire Lord's heir in the process? That was just a bonus, he growled.
Did you want to follow your father that badly? Karasu asked quietly.
I didn't want Azula to follow him.
Zuko shook his head, pained at the memory of flames and his sister's vicious smile.
With Mom gone, there wasn't anyone looking out for us. We were just pie show tiles for whichever courtiers thought we might be useful.
He lowered his voice, trying not to sound bitter.
Even Uncle. Even now, I have to do something about that when I get back.
Consider that carefully. General Iroh's a wily old fox deer. Karasu beckoned to the youngsters, both two and four-legged.
And calm down. They're not going to eat you.
No, their moms will just nibble on me a bit, Zuko muttered under his breath. I'm not good with people, Aunt. Really, really not good. Worse than grandfather not good.
She stared at him. Both brows climbed. Trust me, it is possible.
All those young eyes coming this way.
Disaster. Absolutely. I grew up with Azula trying to kill me. I'm not good with kids. Or adults. Or anybody.
He glanced at Hakoda's closed face, still out of earshot.
And he may or may not have figured out about the tsunami hazard, but he knows you're up to something.
Oh, why do you say that?
He's been fighting the Fire Nation for 2 years, Zuko shrugged. We're always up to something.
He wasn't swarmed, at least. Most of the other village youngsters hung back, and his cousins kept a responsible distance from a relative not yet properly introduced. Though the younger Rako eeled in and out of the surf closer to him, snuffling with those odd nostrils near the tops of their heads.
Sheila, Kasumi, Yakone.
Karasu reeled off a tumble of names. Zuko winced, desperately trying to commit them all to memory.
Zuko, son of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai, Lord of Dragon's Wings, visiting us as kin.
He accepted their bows and bowed back, consciously shaping the flame with his hands. Watching out of the corner of his eye, as Hakoda looked over them all and shook his head.
Yes, we don't like to squash up against each other like you do when relatives show up, Zuko groaned silently. If you threw sparks when you got stressed, you'd want space too.
I'm glad to see Latuya Bay prosper, he stated. I will endeavor not to impose hazards on this domain that can be avoided.
The kids blinked at him, looked at the lady of their island, and at Sheila.
Good thing she likes braids, Zuko thought, banishing the whisper of unease behind a polite, neutral expression. The young lady's skin was a little darker than Azula's, her hair a lighter brown, and her gold eyes had a softer version of that slant he'd last seen in Katara's face. But there was no mistaking the family resemblance.
Mother, Sheila said wryly, is he serious?
He grew up in court, Karasu stated. Nephew, you're among kin.
And I thank you for that kindness, aunt, Zuko said plainly, heart hurting. But every minute an exile lingers in your domain, you're in more danger. I have to get moving.
He glanced at Hakoda and the Water Tribe ships and wondered, just for a moment, what Karasu could have planned for the Earthbenders among the invasion survivors if the Water Tribe chief hadn't been able to keep them peaceful. Shake the earth enough? Even a small tsunami was devastating.
Better if I never ask.
I have information that should make it in Chief Hakoda's best interest to withdraw from your isle and waters, Zuko said formally. Lady Karasu, it might be better for Lituya Bay and Byakko if you don't have too many details.
Her gaze was shadowed. I see.
Thank you. He bowed again. If you'll excuse me.
It hurt to walk away. Like fire. Like a stone knife to the gut.
Keep walking. Hakoda was wading up the slope with a mock, a look of stunned disbelief on his face.
You can't turn your back on your own family.
My family who I never knew, Zuko said harshly. I've never been here. I didn't have their names. I didn't even have a portrait. Do you want to know why? Because I am Ozai's son, and my mother knew I loved him, so she told me nothing about my family. What you don't know, you can't ever betray.
He glanced between the two Water Tribesmen, for one blinding moment hating them both. They're my family, and they want to trust me, and I can't let them. I'm in exile. The Fire Lord's forces might kill me when they catch me, or they might bring me back alive for a public execution. They will kill anyone who's harbored me.
Anyone who cares about me.
Their children. Karasu's loyalty ought to shield them from any tie to me, but the Fire Lord might say that doesn't matter.
A fist of fire coming down. He shoved that memory back into the darkness. He'd had plenty of practice.
Hakoda winced.
Amok's breath whistled between his teeth.
You need more time healing. An attack like that creature's is meant to strike at the bonds of family. You should go back to bed.
There isn't time.
His nails were biting into his palms. Zuko loosened his fingers before they drew blood. I was the Avatar's guest, under his roof, providing him aid at his own request, at risk to my own life. He knew that. But while I was helping him, while I was saving his waterbender's precious neck, he attacked me.
Zuko bared his teeth.
I'd say with intent to kill, but I know Aang. He didn't think about killing me. He didn't think at all. He just blasted me over a cliff and let everything fall.
He just... Hakoda was shaking his head slowly, as if he didn't believe his own ears.
He put you in the water, and that monster found you?
Found me?
Zuko smirked.
Oh, I wish. It didn't have to find me, Hakoda. Aang dropped me right on top of it.
He...
Words seemed to fail the chief.
Of course, he didn't know it was there, Zuko said caustically.
He would have if he'd given me 1 minute to explain. But you know Aang. Why ask questions when he knows who the good guys are?
He shrugged. But for once, who knows? Maybe I got lucky. Most of the rocks Aang blew down with me missed me. one didn't miss the sea serpent. Must have stunned it, at least for a few minutes. He let a puff of steam escape, taking a bit of that acid fury with it. And after that was a very long night. You were. Slowly, the chief shook his head. My own men couldn't fight that thing. They didn't know what they were fighting. Zuko spread his hands, palm up and empty. I did. I've fought water spirits before. This wasn't a spirit, but same principles. When it tried to grab waterbenders, I know how to fight it. He shuddered, remembering that red haze in his brain as his body clamored for air. It was still close. I think I was safer in the water with it than outside where Katara could. Never mind. Amok shot him a sharp look at that, mouthed something too soft for most to hear. Hama? Zuko frowned, trying not to let his sinking heart show in his face. Now there was a name he'd hoped he'd never have to hear again. She'd been nasty enough when Kuzan had visited the South Pole. After Azulon's prison had twisted her, the survivors had never, ever said what she did to escape, and Kuzan had known better than to ask. Who's Hama? Someone from my village, a long time ago. The chief tensed, glancing out at the waves. But what happened to Katara? Damn. It's over now. Zuko tried to wave it off. I think she knows better than to do that again. But she really, really needs to talk to some healing benders. Someone who knows what water can do when it's not being friendly. Hakoda took a deliberate step forward. What happened? You do not threaten me. Not here. Not ever. Zuko raised his brow and jerked his head towards the bay. What do you think happened? She's angry and she hates me and the moon was up. It got right in and... Stop. Yes, she nearly smothered you, but this is not helping. I'm sorry. She should be all right. She managed to figure out something was twisting her bending. She was fighting it. She tried. Breathe. Breathing was good. I circled her with fire to break her chi's link to the ocean. She was getting her head back together. But that's when Aang came in and... He sighed. If you saw a waterbender in a fire circle, what would you think?
I know what I would have thought a week ago, Hakoda admitted. And I would have been wrong.
Huh?
Hue says there are spirits in the swamps that can't handle getting cold. The chief went on. One called a foxfire can make people lose their minds and wander into deep water. He grimaced. And then it eats them.
Hinotama. Zuko nodded. They show up in some Fire Nation swamps. If they could stand hot spices, we'd be in real trouble. He snickered. One good shake of festival fire flakes and they flit right back to the bogs.
Hakoda looked at him in askance. You were adrift in the ocean with a monster, and that's what you call trouble?
After the Siege of the North, Uncle and I were drifting for 3 weeks, Zuko said. Matter of fact, this time I didn't even have to chase off the sea vultures.
He waved it off. Your son and daughter were okay the last time I saw them, but if they go where I think they will, that won't last. They need help. They need your help.
He nodded towards the ships. And you need them. You can't get out of the Fire Nation with just a pair of ships. Not without risking all of your allies winding up as ash smears on the blockade. With the Avatar, it's still a risk, but your odds get a lot better.
Honorable opponents, the chief murmured. You have something I want. Where my children are and where they're going. We have something you want. Ourselves out of here, so your family's out of danger.
He nodded. I take it this is where you propose a truce.
No. Zuko swallowed, suddenly lightheaded. A truce implies that when it's over, we're on different sides.
Hakoda's eyes narrowed, thoughtful.
Amat crossed his arms. Young man, you know that Byakko can't. Byakko can't. Zuko cut him off. I'm not Byakko. I'm Dragon's Wings. And I can. His voice dropped. I'm the only one who can. Steeling himself, he matched Hakoda gaze for gaze. The Fire Lord has to be stopped. I can't face him. He'd challenge me and I'd lose. He's a master firebender, one of the most powerful benders ever. And I'm not. Facts. He had to stick to facts and ignore that memory of agony. It wasn't easy. In a way, the Agni Kai had hurt worse than dying. Death ended. I can't face him, Zuko repeated. But sooner or later, he'll try to destroy my people. I need your help, Chief Hakoda, just as much as you need mine. Hakoda weighed his offer and sighed. Aang almost killed you. He did, Zuko said flatly. I won't forget that. But if the Fire Lord isn't stopped, he'll carry out the Face Dealer's plan, and then all the careless avatars in the world won't matter. Except carelessness always does, Amok said gravely. Carelessness in breaking a spirit-sworn word, most of all. The Avatar is a powerful spirit, but he's not immune to the spirit world's laws. If you were under his protection and he broke that word, he's at great risk. Zuko shot his unexpected uncle a wry look. They're going to Boiling Rock. I don't think they'll hit a sea serpent there. Boiling Rock? Amok frowned. Island inside a caldera lake, Zuko filled in. A Akkad-Zaite wouldn't last 2 minutes before it was boiled alive. The waterbender grimaced. That's what I thought it was. He cleared his throat. No, they definitely won't encounter the Dako there. Zuko gave him a narrow look. So what are you worried about? Something worse.